Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's continue right here, here. Chag HaSukkot, Sameach. Happy. Feast of Tabernacles, the seventh of the seven appointments. He who be, we be, is divine majesty here in the season. Here again, full of full, Everton Blender here. Lift up your heads. Yes, I heads up.
Striving for better, and we're not gonna stop till the battle is won and we get justice. Cause if you lose your stand, anyone will try to push you over and over. Lift up your head and hold it up high. We know that we'll win.
Establish it on the flood.
Establish it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of Jah?
shall stand in his holy place.
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart.
And
who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor torn his people. He hath received the blessing from Jah-Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him, the Most High God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob. Oh, yeah.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up,
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
I say, who?
Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi. Inflatia.
The whole place is due for
help.
Yeah.
מזמור כ"ד לדוד מזמור. לאדוני הארץ ומלואה, תבל ויוש ובת. כי הוא על ימים יסדה, ועל נהרות יכונניה. מי יעלה בהר אדוני, ומי יקום במקום קודשו? נקי כפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשווא נפשי, ולא נשבע למרמה. יישא ורחם את אדוני, וצדקה מאלוהי ישעור. זה דור דורשיו, מבקשי פניך יעקב סלע. שאו שערים רעשכם, והנשאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים רעשכם, ושאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות, הוא מלך הכבוד. סלע, 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 סלע.
מזמור 23 בקנף 24 በመጀመሪያ ሰንበት የዳዊት መዝሙር ምድርና ሞላዋ ለእግዚአብሔር ነው ዓለምም በእርሱም የሚኖር ሁሉ እርሱ በባህሮች መስርቷልና በፈሳሾችም አጥንቷልና ወደ እግዚአብሔር ተራራ ማን ይወጣል በቅድስናው ስፍራ ማን ይቆማል እጆቹ የነጹ ልቡም ንጹህ የሆነ ነፍሱን ለከንቱ ያላነሳ ለባልንጀራውም በሽንገላ ያልማለ እርሱ ከእግዚአብሔር ዘንድ በረከትን ከመድኃኒቱ አምላክ ምሕረትን ይቀበላል ይህች ትውልድ እርሱን የምትፈልግና የያዕቆብን አምላክ ፊት የምትፈልግ እናንት መኳንንቶች በሮችን ክፈቱ የዘላለም ደጆች ይከፈቱ የክብርም ንጉስ ይግባ የክብር ንጉስ ማን ነው እግዚአብሔር ነው ብርቱና ኃያል እግዚአብሔር ነው በሰልፍ ኃይል እናንት መኳንንቶች በሮችን ክፈቱ የዘላለም ደጆችም ይከፈቱ የክብርም ንጉስ ይግባ የክብር ንጉስ ማን ነው የጭፍሮች አምላክ እግዚአብሔር እርሱ የክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
Some men don't do it for the money, them a run down. Why them really go about down judgment and them not look to the east? Tell me for the money,
money them a run down. Why them really go bow down? Judgment and I know them not see from me. Allah say judgment, and them not know where judgment appear from. Boy must it take rock me body fear and. But I'm like Job and I'm like Aaron. Man and a father Albert, man a father Abram. Words in my mouth and the body in my right hand. Come to separate the good, the good, the good from the evil. Yes, me have to want the United Nations. One Albert and the one named Clinton. Here's a them go about to the Pope and Satan. But I see Pope, yeah, man have to send the vaccination. And God give it till I see cultivation. Not a from the nation. Not the money them a run down. Why them really go about down? Judgment and them not look from the east. Tell me for the money them a run down. Why them really go about down? Judgment and I know them not see the bumper man. Say man not job. Dropping me turban and me dropping me robe. Some say them a me friend but them a too wet this sword. Never see me with me burden, much less with me load. I'm corrupting a sea of me from the road. You not read Zion, you not know the road code. Them not want me drive Benz and all Lexus and Ford. Me tamper them down like a toad. And the money them a run down. Why them really go bow down? Judgment and them not look to the east. Tell me for the money them a run down. Why them really go bow down? Judgment and I know them not.
I and I say this to say that in the abundance of water the pool is thirsty, thirsty. But if our water is available but it's invisible, empty, 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 empty. In the abundance of food the pool is hungry, hungry. But if our food is not in those pot but in the belly empty, empty. Is what you make it to believe it or not. The wise man built his house on top of the rock. If you come in it from the sun, then you're a fully idiot. Some of them must take a bet you think it's yap. Foundation of the deep and strong. Some of the footsteps of the wise man. How you pick us up, no pin a sinking sand. In a bit of world of competition. In the abundance of water, the pool is available but still in vessel empty, 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 empty. It's some man that had both better most come. After all that has been said and after all that has been done, you better reach what you need and you won't get done. Cause a rattle race in the world we live in. Everyone just a program to win. To what we watch how the pendulum swing. A man will take your share and you don't get a thing. The fool now I'm gonna get it in the thing can take. Now I'm gonna get it in the walk up and sweat.
Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time, no time. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine. Let me say yes, raga, raga. Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time. Well, them won't get me out, but it's not an easy task. Them tried many times before and couldn't pay the cost. So know them a smile, but we know it's just a mask. They want to kill, we have to, we know what city marks. But when we visualize, we saw it's broken in the eyes. Me say me get a little younger. It's like me hypnotize, I'll do what them criticize. Kill me over from them disaster. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine. And we say, oh, raga, raga. Yes, raga, raga, raga. Them couldn't stop me, no time, no time. Oh, raga, raga. Oh, raga, raga, raga. Victory is mine.
Oh, do you really think I'm working for? Oh, do you really think I'm fighting for? Oh, do you really think we'll win this war? Yeah. Oh, do you really think I'm working for? Oh, do you really think I'm fighting for? Oh, do you really think we'll win this war? Hey, they know no love, and they show no love. I see they know no love, that's why they grow no love. Well, love is the only thing they think they know. Oh, oh, this is the year so I'm tempted to grow. Oh, oh.
me mother, me father, all of them tell me so. Oh, oh, oh. Hey, don't talk about God, I be fling no blow. I can always hear this whistling like we low. Lift that broad road and take the one narrow. The broad road will lead to the pain and sorrow. Blood for all and a gun in a barrow. So ask them, who do you really think I'm working for? Who do you really think I'm fighting for? Who do you really think we're winning for? Who do you really think I'm working for? Who do you really think I'm fighting for? Who do you really think we're winning for? Hey, they know no love. And they don't know love. Hey, they grow no love. That's why they grow no love.
sabbatical study, this I&I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat
strong.
Shabbat strong.
This verse right here, you know, because it's a very interesting, it's a song of Moses. It's not the song of the Red Sea, that was another song, that was Exodus 15. This song here in Deuteronomy 32, the song of Moses, to give ear ye heavens, and I'll speak, and the earth, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. The heavens is plural. You could say almost in a male plural sense, the Shemayim. And the earth in this sense, the earth is feminine, you know, Tishma. And then he goes on to say his doctrine, he says, my doctrine will drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon mown grass. And interesting in this time and season where this Torah portion rises, some say like when it falls. I don't like that. That's a language right there. It's improper. It's for English too. Instead of when the Torah rises, because it's a rising for us. You know, maybe a falling for others. You know, by rising for us, read, reason, and rise. That's what we say, three R's, right? Cain, amen. So verse 3 says, because I will publish the name, it says, you know, KJV of the Lord, publish the name of Adonai, ascribe ye greatness to our God, ascribe ye greatness to our Elohim. It says, he is the rock. Now, actually, in the King James Version, as I mentioned to the Chabarim, and the wise will pick up on it and reap results, reap rewards, you know, the foolish will hear and not do, you know, and then think it's wrong because they heard it and doesn't make sense to their speculation. But if you look in Deuteronomy 32 and 4 in the KJV, he is italicized. So here in the Chumash, the Synagogue Torah, with the Hebrew there, it says, for I will publish the name, I'll publish the name of Yahweh of Hashem. I'll publish the name of Hashem. Ascribe ye greatness to our Elohim, Eloheinu. Then it says, this is verse 4, no, verse, that was verse 3, then verse 4 says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Amen. So you know who we be. So it's about Ras Tefarit, right? So you don't know. So now, in looking at this right here, I look at the King James Version, it says, he is the rock. He is the rock. So the he is part is added in. But look at how if you take the italicized parts, which are added in like a crutch, you know, like you cripple, in a sense. So they add in those things as a crutch. But in the Hebrew, growing up, in the Chumash, it says, the rock, his way is perfect. The rock. Hatzor. You know, Hatzor. The tzor is a rock. Hatzor. A hetzor. Hetzor. It says, Tamim. Now, it's interesting, that word is used as Tamim, like with the offerings. With our blemish, Mum. Mum is like a blemish. Mum. You know, mami, right? Mum is like a blemish. So without Mum, you know, in the Hebrew, without Mum, it's Tamim. Tam, like it's a complete Tamim. Like it's complete. In other words, like an offering, to use as an example, offering, if the offering is a goat, right? Then the offering of the goat doesn't have two heads or three legs, you know, or no tail. You know, it has to have what, according to the pattern of the blameless creator, you know, there's that pattern. So in that sense, the animal or the sacrifice is perfect. Now, many people in the West live in the image of the beast, in the intellectual image of the beast. They say nothing's perfect, you know. See, that's a misunderstanding of Western Gentile, white Western Gentile terms. So the perfect in the sense of offering, it basically, like, if you know what a chicken looks like, you know what, this is used this as an example, you know what a tree looks like. If I showed you a picture of a rock and I said this is a tree, would you accept that? You know, if I gave you Monopoly money instead of, you know, the so-called American dollar bill for a purchase, you know, and you was in business, would you accept that? You wouldn't, because you say this is not right. So if I gave you a dollar or the money and it's the right number of money that you asked for, even you asking for too much money, if I gave you that too much money that you asked for to the very dollar and you look at all the bills and it has all the little security codes and everything in it, that would be perfect. That's complete. That's the idea of it. Not this little spooky, crazy, fantasy, Disney kind of thing. You know, perfect. That's why people are like, you know, hurting themselves. You know, with this, that's the Babel of Babylon. You remember Babel, where all the languages were the one language, but it was confused, so people couldn't understand what they were saying? You know, so this is what we study. So it says, Hatamim, well, okay, Pa'ilo, they may say Pa'ilo, right, Pa'ilo, his work, you know, Pa'ilo, you know, or Poelli, some would say, but Paolo, right, his work is perfect. So it says, for his ways are justice. King James says, for all his ways are judgment. So which one's correct? It says, Kikol, de Rakayo, Mishpot. Judgment? Judgment would be better because Tzedek is justice. And people kind of confuse justice and judgment. So when people say no justice, no peace, we mean no judgment. See, the judgment, the Mishpot, is more the legal decision. So here, King James would have that a little more, you know, correct. You know, but justice in the sense of the weighing of whether it is favorable, unfavorable, the weighing of whether it's acquittable or condemnable, in that sense. That's the idea. Then it says, a God of faithfulness, El Emuna, Wein Awel, or those probably say modern Hebrew, Wein Avel, and without iniquity. So he's El Emuna. Of the Emuna, of the faith. He's the God of the faith, is one way of saying, like the Emuna, you say Emuna to say faith, but it can also be faithfulness from the Amen, like it's sure, it's true, so be it. It is what it is, what in the sense of so be it, Amen, true, faithful, a witness, you know, you admit, you know, it's trustworthy, right, in that sense. We're Ain Avel. Then it says this, it says, Sadiq, we're Yashar, Sadiq. Now see, Sadiq here is just. That's why Sadiq and then Tzedek is justice. So here we'll favor the KJV translation, looking at the Hebrew. You know, just keeping the aim, you know, right and true. Alright? But looking at the Hebrew, right? So the Sadiq just with Yashar is upright. Who is he? Alright? So it says Sadiq with Yashar who? Yashar. We'll say Yashar El. Right? That upright, the upright El. Or the upright of God, of the good, right? So here it says, just and right is he. So here they both kind of agree. Now the next verse is the verse, where it says, they have corrupted themselves. KJV says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Then that whole thing about the spot kind of reminded me about, like, can the Ethiopian change, you know, can the leopard change his spot, or the Ethiopian, like, his skin, his complexion? That verse here, you know? Can the Ethiopian, you know, change his complexion? Can the leper change his spots? That's one of those verses in the Bible for the Ethiopia verse enthusiasts. You know, and I'm raising my hand. You know, just trust me. Hand raised, I can court. Somebody should say, like, yes, and the witness has raised his hand. The witness has raised his hand. So it says the Ethiopian, right, and the spot. Let's look at this up, spot. The Ethiopian name, spot. Okay, no, Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spot? Question mark. Now, a lot of folks who do quote this in favor of the Ethiopian will quote this verse, and it's a good verse. In fact, this verse was quoted by a lot of our people, our ancestors, to kind of, you know, prove, you know, some rightness of our God-given blackness. Let's put it like that, right? There's a question mark there, right? And Jeremiah 13:23, it doesn't end there. It's not just one line and a question mark. It goes on to say, then may ye, y'all. Now, who's being spoken to? Is the Ethiopians being spoken to here by Jeremiah? Or was the Israelites, right? So, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil, or accustomed to do evil. I thought that was very interesting, the whole Ethiopia, the leopard connection, and then the other part of the verse where it says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. So it's, you know, the Ethiopians or the Israelites. I could ask, does it really matter, since Amos 9 and 7 says, are ye not as the children of Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? But it's the Ethiopians' turn right now, right? So let's give them their turn. So here, this verse, 32 and 5 of the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32 and 5, in the King James Version, if you read it, says they have corrupted themselves their spot. Now you notice what comes next. If you look at it, the word is italicized. Not is not italicized. The spot of, or the spot is italicized, of his children is not italicized, they are is italicized, a perverse and crooked generation is not italicized. Wow. I know it might sound like a lot, but just take a pause, get your Bible, or look it up, Google it, Google Deuteronomy 32 and 5, King James Version, KJV, right? they have them while we go to KJV, because then we can correspond and check it out. Check out KJV with the manuscripts. You can't do that with those other funny money Bibles out there. Those fraudulent New World, whatever they call it, NIV. Those crazy, crazy Bibles, all right? Learn to, I'll give you fish, but learn how to fish, right? They have corrupted themselves. Now, let's read it without the italicization, since we read it with italicization. Once again, with italicization, they have corrupted themselves. Their spite is not the spite of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Kind of makes sense, right? But let's read it without the italics. They have corrupted themselves, their spot not of his children, a perverse and crooked generation. Now, there's a colon there. One more time, using the colon as part of the way of reading it, right? They have corrupted themselves, their spot not of his children, a perverse and crooked generation. Now, the Hebrew here translation, We are like it the better, right? It says, is corruption his? Question mark. I thought of that. I thought about 74, 75. The godless and creeping cool against his divine majesty. I thought about that. 74, 75. You know, they say, oh, the famine, all this and that and next thing. Lie, 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 lie. But the question we can ask them, I think about doing a kind of a meme with this, right? Is corruption his? You know, is corruption his? Is the corruption his? Is corruption Xavier, the sustainer, the good father, is Yahweh? Is corruption his Messiah, his anointed Messiah upon the throne of great King David? Is corruption his? It says, no, his children's is the blemish, a generation crooked and perverse. It says, Shechet lo, lo, banayo, mumam. Is corruption his? Shechet lo? Lo. Shechet lo? Lo? Lo. See, some people confuse the two lo's. There's lau, lau, for him or of him, and there's lo. One is lamed vav, lamed wow, lau, and one is lamed aleph. Lo, lo, lo. Right? So one is lau, lau, not vav, but wow. So it says, shechet lo. Shechet lo? Low, 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 la, low, banayo, mumam. Is corruption his? No, low, his children's, banayo, banayo, mumam. That generation, that corrupt generation of the children of the Ethiopian. That's where we get the careless. This is where the prophecy, this is where the rubber meets the road. Is corruption his? No, his children's is a blemish. A generation crooked and perverse. Dora ikesh, ikesh. Ufa tala talatol. Ua fataltol. Ufa taltol. Or ufa talto. Ufa telto. Fatelto. Perverse. Perverted. Is corruption his? Shecheta lau. Shecheta lau. Is corruption his? So there's a footer right here. It says, R renders corruption is theirs, not his. E renders, the scholars looking at this, a generation crooked and perverse that are not his children, has corrupted his ways, and this is their blemish. SH, another scholar says, Israel has brought destruction upon himself and not, in open parentheses, upon others, close parentheses. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopian unto me, O son Israel? So that means corresponding vis-a-vis according to the divine logos and the logic. If the children of the Ethiopians, or the children of Israel, according to Amos 9:7, are like to the children of Ethiopians, and as covenant people, those highland covenant-keeping people, the Ark of the Covenant, Solomon's sheep, that means that this too is applicable to them. So Ethiopia had brought destruction upon herself and not upon others. It says his children, it says, are therefore responsible for their blemish. So that blame game that generation has played, and some even now try to replay that blame game, Jawar says, his children, that faithless generation, they are responsible for their blemish. Their blemish caused them to act corruptly towards him, toward his imperial majesty. Consequently, they are not his children. So when they ask him about millions of Christians, you know, see you as the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, I've heard of this idea. Right, I've also spoken to certain Rastafarians. I made it very clear, very plain to them, I'm a man, I'm mortal, I'll be replaced by the oncoming generation. That oncoming generation is the Rastafari. That oncoming generation, after they took the line off the flag, and the flag became Bado, you know, became empty or just the green, yellow, and red, you know, and then the homosexuals, they flip the colors upside down, you know, so it's really a confusing thing because, you know, a lot of times people look at one set of colors and they get confused. See, with the Arma of the Yehuda Moa Anbesa, there's no confusion about that. But like Theo Paul said, leaving for Zion, you know, if I was leaving for Zion, I wouldn't delay. You know, they took the lion of Judah, the lion off the flag, because they want to pray to the dragon instead. So many of them in exile over in England. You know, it's interesting when they're in England, they talk about the Queen. They become such monarchical lovers. But you know what they don't do? They don't run up and down the street and say, oh, we need to overthrow this government. And if they did, they know what the consequences, but His merciful majesty. So it's interesting because it says, do you requite the Lord, He who be, we be? Kinamawi Haselasi, O foolish people and unwise, is not He thy Father that hath begotten thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee? O foolish people and unwise. For such a wise people, the Ethiopians in history, it's almost like, it must be like the first should be last and last should be first. You know, just as the word said, because this was not how it was in the beginning. But here, oh, foolish people and unwise. The word Nabal is foolish. It denotes a person who repays his benefactor with evil. That's what a Nabal is. Remember, there was, Nabal in the Bible with David, you know, that foolish, greedy man, you know. You know, Nabal is a person who repays his benefactor with evil. That's the idea, the Hebrew sense of foolish. So it's a people who repays the one who did good for them, as Kedemawi HaSelassie did, with what? With evil and lies. In breaking Jah's laws, and breaking Ezekiah's law, that covenant, right? Ethiopia, kingdom of God, that covenant, Israel, Ethiopia, acted ungratefully, forgetting all the wonderful deeds which Ezekiah and the Seyume Ezekiah, the person of Kedemawi HaSelassie, had performed for them. They also proved not just being Nabal and foolish, repaying their benefactor with evil, but to be unwise, because they did not realize that it was not Ezekiah, it was not Seyume Ezekiah, but they who would suffer. See, a lot of them, the intellectuals in 74, 75, they really thought they were wise, but they were foolish and unwise. It was not Ezekiah, it was not Seyume Ezekiah, Negus, but it was they who would suffer in consequence for their sins. Is He not thy Father? Is He not the Father of the true, righteous, and progressive Africa? This is stated because they had said that they were not His children. He begotten thee. Right, so a little bit more. Let's just leave it right here. A little bit of a Selah, as it were, on this 53rd and the Song of Moses. Deuteronomy XXXII 32. Deuteronomy Lamed Beit. Lamed, teaching, Beit, house. Yeah. Give us a teaching. 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 Give us a teaching.
You'll find your redemption.
Sabbatical study, this Ainai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Keep us the teachings of His majesty. For we no one, no devil, philosophy. Feel it in the one drop.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me? O children of Israel, O children of Israel.
You'll find your redemption.
Ras Makonnen, Haile Selassie is astute. Ethiopia is very happy. Be her confessor. O Haile Selassie, sanctity becomes you.
Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. My sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword.
Slain by my sword. Slain by
the Ethiopians also.
Also.
The Ethiopians also.
Also.
The Ethiopians also.
Ethiopians also.
Ethiopians also.
Ethiopians also.
The Ethiopians also. Ye shall be slain by my sword.
Slain by my sword.
Slain by my sword.
If tomorrow is judgment day.
Original justice man. Champion song.
Oh, and I'm standing on the front line.
Oh, when the Lord asked me what I give it a sound, I would say, Jaja, you know I'll kill them for you.
Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not.
Like you was talking about, it's just a pride to be from that part of Africa. There's a big pride, and even Jamaicans and Rastafarians, if that's the way you say it, Rastafari,
yeah.
they identify with the culture of Ethiopia and Eritrea, mm-hmm. just based on the fact that it was never colonized. But that's a whole nother convo that, you know, they got experts that we got to be real careful about, because they'll check us on our facts.
Yeah.
But nah, you know,
from the child of their mother's breast, a sighting of a sighting of Jarasafara. It is as the careless Ethiopian shall go down in Babylon. It is as the careless Ethiopian shall go down in Babylon. Many call, but few shall be chosen to go. Shall be chosen to go to Mount Zion.
Seal Psalm 144, pay attention. In the Song of Moses, to the metaphor of the rock. I am the rock hewn church, Kethuski Argus, but the rock. Also here in today's the evening, the Seal Up Psalm 144, Sabbath Seal Psalm. Right here. Yes, sir.
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Yes, Slicha, right there. Let's rewind that for a moment. Wow.
Rewind and come back, selector.
Yeah, we have forgot that in the English, the KJV that we had on deck right there doesn't bring out the fullness of Mizmor Kof Nim Dalet. Psalm 144, Hebraically, alphanumerically here, Kof 100, Nim 40, Dalet 4. Mizmor Kof Nim Dalet, Psalm 144, Psalm CXLIV, Psalm CXLIV. Here begins off, Lidawi, Baruch Yahweh Tzuri, Hamla Meida Yadai La Kreb Etra Botai La Milhama. The more better translation that is kind of translated as my strength. In the Hebrew we have Baruch, bless Yahweh, Yahweh Hey Hashem, he who be we be. It says Sori, Sori. I emphasize that because in the Song of Moshe we find rock, rock, the rock. And just to understand this Hebraicism right here, the rock, you know, so just connecting the Sabbath seal psalm right here with the Song of Moses. We have this psalm of Gawi, joy. The theme here is joy in Ha'elohim and the Almighty's protection. We have this joyous hymn that is largely a mosaic of citations from other chants, other psalms, to the title Lidawi of David. The LXX adds, and also if we may add, the King of Kings Bible adds, against Goliath, or in the Mark, Sile Goliath, Goliath. Interesting that in the Hebrew we have Galut, right? The Galut, which is like the exile. You know, so Hebraically, Judaically, when we think of the giant Goliath, in a prophetic sense, in the present event horizon, it's also the exile, against the exile, Sile Goliath. So the LXX and the King of Kings Bible adds, against Goliath or Bamarinya, Sile, concerning, because of Goliath. And the Targum, the ancient interpretation, Targum, the Hebrew, in the Amharic we say Targum, Targum, the interpretation of seas, in verse 10, a reference to this Philistines, the Philistines' hurtful sword. So zooming in to verse 10, it says, who giveth salvation to kings, who rescuest David, David, thy servant from the hurtful sword. Ha notain tishuah lama lakim. La Milakim, to kings, who giveth Teshua, Teshua, from that root Yasha, or we get Yeshua, and Yeshua, victory, salvation. Hanotain, Hanotain, the giver, he who be, who he be, who he be Hanotain, Teshua, La Milakim, he be the giver of salvation or victory, Teshua, two for the kings, two kings, La Milakim, to the Milakim, who rescues, Ha Potseh, so who he who be, who he be Ha Potseh, he be Potseh, the rescuer, the Ha Potseh, he be Ha Notain, he be the giver, he be the giver of Teshua, of salvation, victory to kings, he who be who he be ha potseh, he be the rescuer, et David of David, abdo, 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 his servant, his abed, right? He rescued David from what? Me chereb ra'a, from the sword, the chereb, chereb in the Hebrew, chereb, may from the sword, may chereb, the chereb, ra'a, ra'a. Now, ra'a is directly in the Hebrew, often it's translated as evil, to understand the dimensional of what is known as evil. Remember, the prototypical ancestors, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So therefore, we're in this simulation in this world, in this creation of the positives and the negatives, so the divine physics here. So here, bringing out this sense from the Hebrew, directly it's mei chereb ra'a, from the evil sword, but many of the translators translate as from the hurtful, because evil, hurtful, ill, harmful, bad, grievous, from the hurtful sword, which was in the Davidic context, the war that brings loss and misery to the people, you know, because David, he had to put down a lot of, he continued, he actually fulfilled what Yehoshua, where Joshua started out with the tribes coming in. They obey the war laws and the commands, and they gain territory. But then after Yehoshua, there was the time of the Shoftim, the judges, and then when they continued to inherit the land, right, via the divine warfare, we find this also with the grandson of David. David had a son named Solomon. Solomon had a son named David, Menelik II. In the covenant of Gath, also one of the first things once they settled in the land, they proclaim HaTorah was a warfare, right? As we see that this is also was part of the inheritance. So here we have the Philistines' hurtful, harmful sword, but the composite character of the Sabbath, the Shabbat seal song, Psalm 144, Mizmor Kof, Meim, Meim Dalet, it has a composite character. It's actually, for lack of a better word, a mosaic. The use of Aramaicisms, the Aramaic, we could say the Eastern Shemitic, as opposed to more of the biblical Hebrew, the Western Shemitic. The mention of Dawid, of David, as a person other than the writer. This all suggests that the superscription we have here for Psalm 144, Lid Dawid, of David, to be understood in the Davidic style. There was a particular style, as we study even the Hebrew, you know, Davidic compositions, they have a particular style. The only thing I can compare this is with, like, say, music and roots and reggae, some dub. We can hear a tune and say chant. We know it's not Bob Marley and the Wailers, BMW, but it's in that style. You know, it's in a certain roots style, right? So the Davidic style or the Davidic school of the psalmists, of the chanters, of the Isisers. We also see this also in the roots, reggae music, certain music are in the particular school of the roots, you know, even though it may not be the artist who first brought it forward, it's in that style. Thus, even the Sabbath seal psalm 144, it's in that style, the Davidic style. Now, in the Yehudi, the Judaic liturgy, the Kaddish, this prefaces the service for the termination of Yom HaShabbat, of the Sabbath. And here's the reason that we share, you know, from time to time, but especially in this season here, the season of I and I Joy, the season of Sukkot, of Tabernacles, which is a prophetic of the regathering, right, of Kol Yisrael, of the Beta Israel, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, the praise of Ha'elohim, of Ha'el, the Almighty, as Ahad, Ahad, as Ahadu, even as we say Ahadu Amlak, the one source, the one God, Yahuwah Ahad, Shema Yisrael, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Ahad. So the praise of Ha'el, the Almighty, as Ahad, as the one who trained my hands for war and my fingers for battle, this fits well with the imminent renewal of the weekday struggle. So the weekday struggle after the sabbatical, the Shabbat rest, the Sabbath calm, after that comes the intrusion of the world, the flesh, the sepulchrum. Against that, the psalm, the chant here, it proceeds to invoke, right, to invoke, to evoke, and in a sense to even provoke Ha'el, the Almighty's protecting hand, his protecting yad, while the joys of a full garner, according to the metaphor, learn to read the Hebrew verbal hieroglyphs, the joys of a full garner, a full barn, and an overflowing sheepfold, right? They're speaking about family, speaking about provision, speaking about wealth that's necessary to even fulfill the mitzvot, his commandments, are those to be attained by the labor, right? The labor that is once more man's lot, humanity's lot. But as the psalmist and I and I continue, whatever comes to man in his warfare is of Ha'el, Ha'el's doing. Now let's just break this down and build this up, right? Because not just according to the letter, right, but according to the spirit. Have you not heard that business is another form of war? So the psalmist and I continues to chant and to bring in the Shabua, bring in the 7 days, the new week, sabbatically strong with this 144. joys in John's protection, because it is from him, Hila him, the almighty power, from Yahweh, he who be, that man, that I and I and we win the power. We gain the ability to triumph, to gain Yeshua, victory, salvation, and fruits of victory, of salvation. Prosperity, therefore, is only real, Beit Yisrael, Beit Israel, when this is recognized. So here, just to kind of zoom in on that, because we thought that it was like the Hebrew brings out, where it says, blessed be the Lord, my rock, Yahuwah Furi. Instead, the KJV kind of translates it from the literal, from the letter, in a sense, into the figure, you know, the spirit, the rock. Not literally that he who be was a rock, but it's interesting, don't you think, that particular metaphor. So here we have, Lidawid Baruch Yahuwah Furi. Ham Lamed, the one who teaches, Lamed, to teach, Ham Lamed, he who be is a teacher, Yadai, my hands, my Yad, Yadai, in the plural sense, my hands, right, my hands, Lakrab. It's interesting, there's the Israeli, check it out if you haven't checked it out already. It's called Israeli Street Fighting. It's called Krav Maga, or more Afro-Ethio-Semitically pointed as Krav Maga, that they say Krav Maga in modern Hebrew. Krav, to draw near. Maga, like to juke. Right, so the word here is actually drawing near, but it's one of the euphemisms Hebraically for war. I think we use that as well, once lost, now found, you know, like, yeah, come near, like draw near, like, you know, like bring it near. You know, the war here is not the literal word for war, as we more have this word in the next verse, where it says, etzebot, fingers, etzebotai, my fingers. La for milhama in various areas is used for war instead of karab. So here we have both senses, drawing near and the milhama. Now milhama is an interesting word in the Hebrew, because you get to the root, it's from lachem, the sense of bread, almost like to make bread. This is what Caleb said. When the 10 spies that brought back lies, he said, listen, you know, we can do it. We can go up and inherit the land. He said, the people are like bread. So it was a kind of a metaphor. In other words, we can do this milchama because the people are like lechem. They're like bread. So there's a very ancient, interesting kind of connection between bread, you know what I mean, and between war. What is it? So the training and the battle. This is an elaboration coming out of Psalm 18. Now, here's what's interesting about Psalm 18, round about verse 35, that for Shabbat Ha'azino, for the Song of Moses, Sabbath brought in the ear, Sabbath give ear, the Haftarah from the prophets bring out 2 Samuel, 2 Shemuel. We have 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 51, which is, according to the linguistics, the science of the Hebrew linguistics, it is the older, we can say it's the older form of it. And then we have Psalm 18, right, which is that which was adapted, the adaptation for congregational worship. But it's David's victory psalm. So we can even build, even here in the season, the connection of Psalm 144, the connection of the first verse, the connection of Psalm 18, verse 35, the connection of the 53rd sabbatical for Ha'azino, the connection of the Haftarah from the prophet, from 2 Samuel, David's victory song. So the word for war that is used in this Psalm 144, the Sabbath seal psalm, Karab, or modern Hebrew Krav. They'll say modern Hebrew Krav, right? La Krav. The Karab is actually an Aramaicism. So in Aramaic, it's more of the word for war. And then the fingers are trained, right, to do what? To manipulate the bow, right? And the hands, right, to manipulate the sword, right? So it's interesting how this psalm, which is a psalm prepping us, preparing us for another, you know, work week, so to speak, but sabbatically strong for that warfare, that business, that skill. So it's a multi-level, right, you know, interpretation and application, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers. But here, looking at the time right here, I'd like to ride up with this, the first and the second day, Aliyot, to the eve of Sukkot, of tabernacles here in the season. But just once again right here, you know, a little dub-wise on the dub of the Nazarene right here, Chaburim. Give thanks to Solomon Jabi for this dub-wise, dub of the Nazarene.
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. Look more right here. After just going through that Lechem Milchama, I said, let me look it up. It's the 8-38-98. Lacham. Lacham, BDB, Brown's Driver's Briggs, it has to fight, to do battle, to make war. The kal, the plain, the basic sense of the word, and it's a verb right here, right? To fight, to do battle, to engage. A nephil is to engage in battle, to wage war. That's the primary sense, the ancient sense. But the secondary sense is to eat, to use as bread. Right, so thinking back to the primitive time, the first time, it's interesting how this word gets associated with one, to fight, to do battle, to make war, and then to eat, to use as food. Right, but the foundation idea is to feed on. In the figure of the word is to consume. And then the implication of that is battle in the sense of as like destruction. So the primary sense to feed on, right, the figure, the spirit of the word to consume, and the implication of what that can mean is to do battle. So often this word is translated in the KJV as to devour, right? That brings to that sense what says devour. One get devoured, they get eaten, right? But also literally it's more like fight and fighting in the sense of overcome, prevailing, or making war or warring. But then we have lechem, right? The repointing of the word sound from lacham, the verb, to lechem, the H3899. And that is the noun meaning like bread, food, grain, bread, bread con, and in general, food, right? So generally, it refers to food, specifically to bread, to grain, or to like bread, corn. It's very, very interesting, you know, just meditating on the word, the sense. Yes, I, word, sound, power. So here, I'd like to ride up right here with from Yom HaKippurim, 5 days after, right? We move forward to Sukkot, right? So a basic reason right here, brothers and sisters, and also hopefully we can touch on some of the questions, some of the reasonments that come out of the Song of Moses, right? But just a kind of an overview, Yom Kippur, just briefly right here, to Sukkot. So recalling the preparation, right? Recalling the preparation for the high holidays. It began, you know, back at the start of Elul, or at least a month, right? You say like the 30 or so days before this seventh month, the seventh moon, and the beginning of the autumnal, you know, the third of the pilgrim festivals. When Moshe, right, according to the narrative, when he was said to have ascended Har Sinai, he ascended Mount Sinai the third time. Question, how many aliyahs did Moshe make going up and coming down the mountain? Kind of interesting, right? But here we have the third time he ascended, he went up, right? The third time, and he stayed there for 40 days, until the seventh month on the 10th day. Now, that was the original Yom HaKippurim. So we both have the narrative as it connects with the holy season and with the feasts and the festivals. So Moshe, right, was said to have ascended Mount Sinai the third time and stayed there, recall, 40 days until the seventh month, right, the seventh month, the 10th day, the original Yom HaKippurim. Now, after this period of Teshuvah, this is like the second time after the molten calf. So after the period of repentance, you know, of that change, you know, that repentance of the B'nai, the Beta Yisrael, Moshe, he descended by the mountain and he gave instruction regarding the building of Hailahim's Sukkah, the Almighty Sukkah, his pavilion, right? And this is called the Mishkan, or the tabernacle, the dwelling place. Now, according to ancient Judaic tribe and tradition, the material for the Mishkan, the sanctuary, was collected during the days before Sukkot, days before tabernacle, even though the tabernacle itself was not actually assembled, right, until Abib first. And Abib, that's the beginning of like the Passover time, the first moon, to say 7 months ago. Now we have Exodus chapter 40, verse 2. Now later, Shlomo HaMelech is said to have livicated the temple, the Heikal, the palace, the temple, during the festival of Sukkot. So it is said that King Solomon, when he dedicated, livicated the temple in Jerusalem, the first temple, this was doing Sukkot. This was doing tabernacles. We have 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 2. Also a citation in the 65th verse right there. Yeah. So right here we have, since it immediately follows the days of awe, these 10 days, and Teshuvah and the repentance. Remember the incident, the molten calf, falsely called the golden calf. Sukkot, tabernacles, it represents the time of restored fellowship, common union, communion with Yahweh, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, with the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name. In fact, the Mishkan, which is the tabernacle, the sanctuary in the sense of the tent in the wilderness, and later the Heikal, the Beit Mikdash, the stone holy building, the stone temple, it represents Ha'elohim, the Almighty's presence, dwelling. And this is where we get the word Mishkan from Shakan, Shekinah, Shakanya, to Shakan, to dwell. Mishkan, a dwelling place. His dwelling place, his dwelling presence, his face, his grace among the redeemed, right? The repurchased, the redeemed people. Speaking of the Beit Yisrael, the Beit Israel. Exodus chapter 29, verses 44 to 45. Now, there's many different modern observances, right? Modern observances of Sukkot. This allows just a few days. From the time of Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, it ends right on the 11th day of the 7th month, Tishri 11th, to the 15th of the very same 7th month to begin assembling, decorating the sukkah, the hut, the booth, right, the booth for the festivities. Now, if the high holidays, right, you know, focuses on Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, Jehovah as our creator, he who be who he be, as our creator, the blameless creator, the irator, and as I and I judge, and as the one, Echad, Ahadu, right, who atones, who covers, right, who atones, expiates, right, I and I ukkeries, I and I missing the mark, forfeitures. The festival here of Sukkot is the time when we celebrate, we rejoice, we celebrate all that Jehovah has done for I and I. Now, when we prophetically overstand it in the prophecy sense, the 7 days, they picture what is known as the Olam Haba, the Olam, the world, Haba to come, the Olam Haba, and the 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom age. Now, if, as many of us see based on our studies, Robeinu Yeshua, Yeshua Ha Notri, Jesus of Nazareth, was born during Sukkot, right, conceived during Hanukkah, right, then another and a prophetic meaning, right, of the quote, word became flesh and tabernacled with I and I. So even in the ancient, you know, Ethiopian kingdom of God points to September 11th as the combined births of Kedisdin Gomarium and Jesus Christos, Yenazaretu Jesus. And also Hebraically understood, studying the Hebrew scrolls, and from a Hebrew perspective, we also come to this time as Yeshua's birth during Sukkot, during tabernacles. And now if this be so, then this brings another level to John's Gospel, Yohanan, chapter 1, verse 14, where he speaks about the Davar, the word became flesh and tabernacle and dwelt with us, and even in the more intimate sense of fellowship in I and I. This is foretells of the millennial kingdom, the kingdom age, when King Messiah, Moshiach HaMelech, when Melech HaMoshiach will again, quote, tabernacle with us and in us, bringing out the sense of the Imanu, with us, El, Hayel, the Almighty Power, during his reign in Sion, in Zion. So the holy day, the holiday of Sukkot, of tabernacles, therefore it represents a time in Iowa of renewed fellowship. What's the theme, the reason for the season, the reason for the gathering? Renewed fellowship with Ha'el, the Almighty, Ha'elohim, with Yahweh, with Jehovah. Now remember, the context of this is what happened even in the wilderness with the molten calf, their big ukkery, right? And then that intervening time where they didn't know they were out of covenant. The covenant was already broken. So we have the renewing, in the sense and principle, the Brit Chadasha, the renewing of the covenant, even in the old covenant. Once he went after that molten calf and did that Akri, it was cut. It was broken. So this is where Moshe went to advocate for the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, for the Israelites, right? And going back up to the mountain and then coming forward down again, the correspondence of the ancient dates and the times that we can discern, right, from studying the Hebrew, the science of the Hebrew scripts. So we have right here, right, the holiday of Sukkot, of Tabernacles, renewed fellowship with the Almighty, remembering his sheltering provision and his care for I and I. As I and I travel through the Midbar, through the wilderness, even the wilderness of the world, the flesh, the times of the Gentiles, even this wilderness of North America, the wilderness surrounded right by the cloud of glory, the cloud of glory, so great a cloud of witnesses, right? And that right there brings out even the sense of the garments. You know, there are garments also for the season and the time. You know what I mean? Like we say, your Sunday best or your Sukkot best. So putting on that white linen, the garment of righteousness, we would appear as a cloud. See the metaphor right there, the literal, the figurative, and the spirit of the word. So in practical terms, the festival, the feast, Chag HaSukkot, is celebrated for 8 days, from the 7th month, the 15th, to the 22nd. During that time, we are commanded to dwell, to shakan, to dwell, right, in a sukkah, in a pavilion, in a booth, in a hut, a structure of temporary construction with a roof covered with a shach of branches, bamboos, the four species. We need to go through the four species, the vegetation, very, very, I say Ethiopian, the sense of the tikkul and the circular huts, yes. The sukkah itself, it symbolizes I and I deep endings upon Ha'el, the almighty power's care, his sustaining and his sustenance. We eat our meals according to the tribe, right? And this is when we enter the land. Though we may not do that literally out here, some can, if they may, but when we enter the land, we eat our meals in the sukkah. It recalls how he caused I and I to trod and provided for I and I. So especially when we enter into the land, into the consciousness, we eat our meals in the sukkah, right? And we recite a special baraka, right, that's known as the Leshev Basuka at this time. Now, in light of the work of Rabbeinu Yeshua, I and I Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, Yeshua HaNotri, as I and I Kohen Gadol, I and I anointed Kohen Gadol of the Brit Chadash, the renewed covenant, we now have access, right, to the higher and the heavenly kingdom, right, as well as the temple of Ha'elohim in spirit and in truth. Hebrews brings it out. The epistle to the Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, take note. We are now members of the greater temple of his body, the church of the firstborn. We are now part of his great sukkah, his great hut, his tabernacle, his pavilion. And the commandment for this time and this season in spirit and in truth, whether you build literally a sukkah, a hut, or you just recognize we're still in the wilderness, so we still are in the sukkah and the hut. The commandment is to...
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let
them rejoice before
God.
Yes! Rastafari. Yes! Rastafari. Yes! Rastafari.
So right here, for day one and day two, right here, give thanks to the Chavarim right here. Day one, this is the eve, right? This is for the eve. So look forward, you know, Sukkah, day one, this day, the ninth right here. So, Besim'ah, Wawur, Liv, Amenfes, Kedus, Ahadu, Amlak right here. Shema'ah, Yisrael, hear this right here. I'm going to ride up with the aliyot, so ones and ones can give ear, reason for the season, right here.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
Chag HaSukkot Sameach, Sameach, Chag HaSukkot Sameach, the Torah Aliyah for Sukkot Day 1 and Sukkot Day 2, Leviticus chapter 22, focus verses, verses 26 to Leviticus 23:44, from the third book of Moshe, the Hebrew book of Leviticus, from the Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra, chapter 22, verse 26. Vayidaber Yahuwah illa Moshe leimor. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe leimor, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, its mother. And from the eighth day and thenceforth, there forward, it shall be accepted for an offering made by Aish, made by fire to the Yahweh. And whether it be cow or ewe, ye y'all shall not kill it and her young both in one day. And when ye y'all will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, of Todah, of Niskana to the Yahweh, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up. Ye y'all shall leave none of it until the morrow. Ani Yahuwah, I be he who be who ye be. Therefore shall y'all keep my commandments and do them. Ani Yahuwah, I be he who be who he be. Neither shall you profane my holy name. Shem Kadeshi. But I will be hallowed. I will be hallowed. Set apart among the B'nai Yisrael, the children, the sons of Yisrael. Ani Yahuwah, I be he who be who he be. Mikal di Shikem, Mikal di Shikem, who hallow, who set thee apart, that brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim to be your Elohim. Ani Yahuwah. Third book of Moshe, of Moses, the Hebrew book of Leviticus, the Sefer Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 23, the feast of Jehovah, of Yahuwah, the Sabbath, and the feast. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe, saying, Lemor, saying, Daber il b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem, mo edei Yahuwah asher tikreu, otam mikrae kodesh, lehem, mo edei, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feast, the appointed seasons of the Yahweh, which y'all ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, Ila, ivocations. Even these are my feasts, my appointed seasons. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is Hashabbat, the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation and Ila, ivocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath, Hashabbat of the Yahuwah in all your dwellings. The feast of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, the appointed seasons of the Yahweh. One, first, the Passover, Pesach, Moshiach, Messiah, our Redeemer. Verse 4. These are the feast of the Yahweh. Ele mo edei Yahuwah. Mikrae kodesh. These are the appointed seasons of the Yahweh, even Ila ivocations, which y'all shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first moon month at evening is Yahuwah's Pesach is the Lord's Passover, is he who be who he be's Pesach. Fasika, the feast of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, the second, unleavened bread, which is a memorial feast
Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month, the same moon, is the feast, the appointed season of unleavened bread to Yahuwah, to he who be who he be. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a ilification. Ye, y'all, shall do no servile work therein. But ye, y'all, shall offer an offering made by Ash, by fire, to the Yahweh. 7 days. In the seventh day is an ilification. Ye, y'all, shall do no servile work therein. The feasts, the appointed times of Yahweh, of Jehovah, the third. First fruits, Moshiach, arisen, arisen. Verse 9. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe Lemor, saying, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, and say to them, when ye, y'all, be come into the land which I give to you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye, y'all, shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits, Bikurim, of your harvest to HaKohen, to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf, Lifnei Yahuwah, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after HaShabbat, the Sabbath, HaKohen, the priest, shall wave it. And ye, y'all, shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a olah, burnt offering, holocaust offering to the Yahweh. And a mincha, a meal offering thereof, shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by Ash, by fire, to the Yahweh, for a sweet savor. And the nesek, the drink offering thereof, shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye, y'all, shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye, y'all, have brought an offering to your Elohim, Elohekem. It shall be a statute, hukim, hukah, a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. The feast of Yahuwah, the feast of Jehovah, the fourth. The wave loaves, the church at Pentecost, Shavuot, 50 days after the resurrection of Moshiach, of the Messiah. Verse 15, and ye shall count to you from the morrow after HaShabbat, the Sabbath, from the day that ye, y'all, brought the sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Shabbats shall be complete, 2 sevens. Even to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye, y'all, shall offer a new mincha, meal offering to the Yahweh. Ye, y'all, shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Yahweh. And ye, y'all, shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a olah, burnt offering to the Yahweh, with their mincha, meal offering, and their nesek, drink offerings, even an offering made by Ash, by fire, of sweet savor to the Yahweh. Then ye, y'all, shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a chatat, sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of shelamim, peace offerings. And HaKohen, the priest, shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering, Lifnei Yahuwah. With the 2 lambs, they shall be wholly set apart to the Yahweh for HaKohen, for the priest. And ye, y'all, shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy ivocation, an ila ivocation to you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute, a hukah, forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when ye, y'all, reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them to the poor and to the stranger. Ani Yahuwah Elohekem, I be he who be who he be, your Elohim. Elohim. The feast of Yahuwah, fifth, trumpets, Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, New Year. Yom Teruah, trumpets, prophetic of the future regathering of Israel. Verse 23. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe, Lamor, saying, speak to the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, the seventh moon, in the first day of the moon, the month, shall ye all have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and Ila Ivocation. Ye, y'all, shall do no servile work therein, but ye, y'all, shall offer an offering made Ba'esh, by fire, to the Yahweh, the feast of Yahuwah, sixth, the day of atonements, Yom HaKippurim. Verse 26. And Egziah the Her, the sustainer, the good father, Yahuwah, he who be, who he be, say to Moshe, Lamor, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh moon, seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement at one man's mark, Tav. It shall be an Ila Ivocation to you, and ye all shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made Ba'esh, by fire, to the Yahweh, and ye all shall do no work in that same day. It is a day of atonement, to make an atonement to you, lifnei Yahweh Elohekem, for whatsoever soul it be, that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among Amo, his people, Israel. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among Amo, his people, his boo. Ye, y'all, shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute, hukah, hok, forever, forever, throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Shabbat of rest, and ye, y'all, shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the moon, the month, at evening, from even to even, from evening to evening, shall ye, y'all, celebrate your Shabbat. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe, Lamor, saying, speak to the B'nai Yisrael, Lamor, saying, the 15th day of this seventh moon, seventh month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, Chag HaSukkot, for 7 days to the Yahweh. On the first day shall be an Ila Ivocation, y'all shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye, y'all, shall offer an offering made by Ash to the Yahweh, and on the eighth day shall be an Ila Ivocation to you, and ye, y'all, shall offer an offering made by Ash by fire to the Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly, and ye, y'all, shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts, the appointed seasons of the Yahweh, which ye, y'all, shall proclaim to be Ila Ivocations, to offer an offering made Ba'esh, Ba'isat, by fire, to the Yahweh, a burnt offering, Olah, and a Minka, meal offering, a sacrifice, and a drink offering, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbaths of the Yahweh, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which y'all give to the Yahweh, Feast of Yahuwah, the seventh Feast of Jehovah, Tabernacles, Sukkot, HaSukkot, verse 39. Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, the seventh moon, when ye, y'all, have gathered in the fruit of the land, y'all shall keep a feast to the Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a Shabbat, and on the eighth day shall be a Shabbat. And ye, y'all, shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows, poplars of the brook. And ye, y'all, shall rejoice, lifnei Yahuwah Elohekem, before he who be, we be your Elohim, 7 days. And ye, y'all, shall keep it a feast, an appointed time, appointed season, a feast to the Yahweh, 7 days in the Shana, in the year. It shall be a hok, hukah, forever in your generations. Ye, y'all, shall celebrate, I celebrate it in the seventh moon, in the seventh month. Ye, y'all, shall dwell in booth, dwell in booth, dwell in booth. In sukkah, sukkot, booth, huts, huts, tabernacles, and booths, 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, in booths, that your generations may know that I made the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the land of Egypt. Ani Yahuwah Elohekem, I be he who be we be, your Elohim. And Moshe declared to the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of children of Israel, the feast of the Yahweh. Glory to the word, glory to the sound, glory to the power. Kubur labinu le melkenu le abuna le nugusana le kadamawi chayla salase. Beshem Yeshua HaMoshiach. Amen.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Glory!
Rastafari. Glory! Rastafari. Glory! Rastafari.
So hear, the fire key offering, words of thine mouth, meditation of the heart, yes, I, fire key offering.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. 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 Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Before thee as incense.
And here for day one and day two right here from Numbers 5.
And on the 15th day, and on the 15th day of the, and on the 15th day of the seventh month, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work, and ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And ye shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year. They shall be without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals unto every bullock of the 13 bullocks, 2/10 deals to each ram of the 2 rams, and a several tenth deal to each lamb of the 14 lambs. And 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering, and his drink offering.
And that was for day one, Numbers chapter 29, verses 12 to 16. Then same chapter, Numbers 29, verses 17 to 19 for day two.
On the second day, ye shall offer 12 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot. And their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering and the meat offering thereof and their drink offerings. And on the third day, 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and his meat offering and his drink offering. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. 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 Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. For 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 thee as incense. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. As incense. Before thee as incense. As incense. As incense, as incense, as incense, as incense, as incense, as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, evening sacrifice, evening before the.
Hear, O Israel! Hear, O Israel!
And hear, the Haftarah, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 21, stretching forth the right hand of fellowship to I and I fellow. Chaver Ras Sahar Had for the read here, for the eve and day one here of Sukkot Tabernacle.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai
Echad. Book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 1 to 21. Pesama Abba Wawa Lemma Pesaka Dus Aha Duam La. Behold, the day of Yahweh who cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh Buruku go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azor. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Yehudah. And Yahweh my Elohim Buruku shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall be clear, nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at even time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahweh Buruku shall be king over all the earth for that day. There shall be one master, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananil to the king's winepress. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their hold, and their tongue she will consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yahweh Buruku shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Yehuda also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, Yahweh Zebaot Buruku, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the Most Yahweh Zebaot Buruku, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Agab go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Agab, and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. And that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness to Yahweh Buruku, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar.
Yea, every park in Jerusalem and in Yehuda shall be holiness to Yahweh's upon oath. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seek therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh's upon oath. Amen.
Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Glad!
Rastafari. Glad! Rastafari. Glad! Rastafari.
What a day, what a day, what a day. Loxley Castell. Yes, I. Say love.
trapping and oppressing the poor. He knows they can't take no more. But woe are today. Yes, so are today. When His Majesty comes again to judge everyone, he then causes the poor to go astray. Shall surely pay his day. Shall surely pay his day. Yeah.
Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Chapter 30.
Hear, O Israel! Hear, O Israel! Hear, O Israel! Hear, O Israel! What
so
the...
Here. Let's touch on this Ha'azinu, Ha'azinu. Just a review, quick review right here. Ha'azinu. Give ear, Ha'azino, give ear, y'all. Speaking to the heavens, Ha'azino. So a quick synopsis right here. The previous sabbatical, we had the Torah portion known as Vayelech. Vayelech, and he went. Now, Moshe, he had finished his long address to Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, and commissioned Yehoshua to be his successor. Yahuwah then foretold that after Moshe's death, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, would, quote, whore themselves after foreign gods, end quote, and break his covenant with him. In light of this, Moshe was instructed to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, a great prophetic song that's called the Ha'azinu. Board in the ear, y'all. Give ear, y'all. Now, this previous, the sabbatical study, RSS 53, Ha'azinu, Torah portion, it provides the words of this song that is pointed to in the previous, the 52nd sabbatical study for Shabbat Vayelech. Here we have Shabbat Ha'azinu, the 53rd. Now, this tells of Israel's history, the past, the present, and the future redemption. And it warns Jah people not to stray from the way, the truth, and the life, not to stray from the path that Ha'elohim, the Almighty Power, had commanded. Now, it's structured. In its structure, especially looking at it Hebraically, is in the form of what's known as a na'um or an oracle. So it's structured in the form of an oracle. The Ha'azinu, it contains Moshe's final words of prophecy given to the sons of Israel, the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, before he aliyed up, before he ascended Har Nebo, Mount Nebo, to die. The oracle, the Na'um, it begins by declaring the righteousness, the tzedek, the tzedakah of Ha'elohim, the righteousness of the Almighty Power. Moses reminded Jah people of all that Ha'el, the Almighty, had done for them. And then he foresaw all the great gifts that they would enjoy as Jah's chosen nation in the promised land. However, instead of thanking Ha'el, instead of thanking Jah for all these gifts, Moshe, he foresaw that Jah people would, quote, grow fat. They'll grow fat, end quote. And they would forsake Yahweh for various no gods. This would cause Ha'el, the Almighty Power's anger to burn. And Yisrael's apostasy, their falling away, going astray, would eventually lead to defeat at the hand of their enemies and to eventual exile, the Galut. Now, all the various curses, consequences listed earlier in the Berit, in the covenant, would then come up on Jah people. Quote, I will heap disasters upon them. I will spend my arrows on them. They shall be wasted with hunger and devoured and eaten up by plague and poisonous pestilence. End quote. Indeed, Jah would have entirely destroyed Jah people were it not for his rep. Was it not for his reputation? After all, they were Jah people, right? If it was not for his reputation among the nations, lest they would say the nations, if he destroyed Jah people, then the nations would say, our hand is triumphant. It was not Jehovah who did all this. Interesting reason why we've been steered, because of what the nations would have said, how they would have taken credit for something that they never done did. Now, ultimately, however, Jah would vindicate. He would make right and righteous his justice and mercy before Shemayim, the heavens, and the Aretz, and the earthly plane, by saving, by redeeming, by giving Yeshua to Yasharallah, to Yisrael, by saving Israel from her enemies and atoning for all of her sins, ukeries. Now, when we say her in the heat, in the her sense, in the prophecy speaking to I and I soul, collective soul, one heart, one soul. Now, the song, It ends, it fulfills with cry out, oh, nations, nationalities, black, white, and otherwise with his people. A call to the nations and nationalities, the nation states to cry out, to shout out with your people. For he will avenge his servants' blood, all the blood shed, tribute to the martyrs. He will take vengeance, nikama, nikamot, against his enemies, his haters, and he will atone. He will atone for his land and his people. Now, after Moshe recited the words of this song, he encouraged your people to take the words of his prophecy to heart and to teach them these words, this song, diligently to their children. Quote, for it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word, y'all shall live long, 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 long in the land. Now, the portion here, 53rd sabbatical study for this Rastafari Shabbat Strong, it ends, it fulfills with Moshe ascending, doing his Aliyah of Har Nebo, Mount Nebo, so that he could see the promised land before he died. Now, here, time that we have here, let's go through some of these questions right here, some interesting questions, so we can get a breakdown and a build on the Song of Moshe. There's 44 questions right here. Not going to try to rush it, but try to get into each one, because this song is a very important song, especially for the singers and the players of instrument, keeping it Levitical or Mosaical, keeping it with revelation, and they sing, right? They sing reggae, King's music. They sing the Song of Moshe. So here, RSS, Rastafari Sabbatical Study number 53 for Shabbat HaZinu, send that Adim to question one. What does the word HaAzinu mean, Chavarim? Here, picking up Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1. HaAzinu, it means give ear. HaAzinu, bringing it out more from the Hebrew, it means broaden the ear. It's like when one put their hand behind the ear, it's like that kind of a symbol, that symbol, that word sound, you know, to broaden the ear, stretch the ear, give ear, in that sense, broaden the ear to hear. It's from the verb azan. Azan means to hear or listen. And the Hebrew word for ear is ozen. We have the word ozen, ozen. So azan, azana, azan, to hear, ozen, the ear, and ha'azinu, to give ear or broaden the ear. The Midrash Rabbah, it says that the ear gives life to the body. The ancient sages and the wisdom is that the ear gives life, gives liberty to the body. What sayest thou, Chavarim, Talmudim, Shalanu? What do you say? Does the ear give life to the body? The ancient wisdom is that the ear gives life to the body. How so? Well, by listening, Shama, Shama, to hear, Shema, hear, O Yisrael, Shema, to the Torah, to the direction instruction. This idea is repeated in the Brit Hadash and the Adis Kidan, in the New Covenant, when Romans, right, in Romans, Epistle to the Romans, Rabbi Shaul, the apostle to the Gentiles, Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paul, he writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith, the emunah, admittance, credit comes from listening, from hearing to the devar, right, ha Elohim, to debre Elohim, to the word, to the oracle of Elohim, the almighty power. So ha'azinu means to give ear, to broaden the ear. Question two. Where else does scripture refer to the Shemaim and the Aretz, the heavens and the earth, as witnesses? Well, this phrase calling the heavens the Shemaim and the earth the Aretz, interesting, the Shemaim in this sense is like male plural. The Shemaim is like male plural and the earth is female singular, but they are called, right, the seven plus the one, the eight, are called as witnesses. Where else? Well, the phrase here, it occurs in several places, namely Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 26, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12, and Psalms chapter 50, verse 4, just to name a few. The words of the later prophets, the Nabim, especially Jeremiah, Ermias, and Esaias, Jeremiah, and Yeshaya, may have been modeled after Moshe's prophetic song. So in looking at the later prophets, how they modeled many of their prophecies, no doubt the influence of the song of Moshe. Now, according to the Torah, punishment can only be administered to a sinner, ukka, lakka, missa of the mark, if he is forewarned in the presence of two witnesses. Did you know that according to the glory of his majesty, according to the Torah, John's teaching, that punishment can only be administered justly and rightly to a sinner if he or she is forewarned in the presence of two witnesses. Also, the appeal to the heavens and the earth as witnesses, it links man's condition within the divinely decreed order of the universe, or the universal order. We are, quote, bound, end quote, by the witness of Shemayim, the heavens, which represents a special revelation, and Haaretz, and the earth, the natural, the Netzer El revelation, that are two entirely faithful testimonies of reality, of the really true. Question 3. Why does Moshe say, quote, let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, in Deuteronomy chapter 32:2. Why does he say that? Well, the ancient sages of Torah, they explain this verse here, Deuteronomy 32:2, where Moshe says, let my teachings drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew. They explain that this verse is a prayer, a tefillah, a elot. Moshe, he asked that the effect of his words would be as rain and dew. Notice that the Hebrew word, right, the root for the word, the Hebrew word for my teaching, right, likhi is lakach means to take. So, therefore, HaTorah, the Ori, must be taken in by the heart, heartically, in order for the fruit to be produced. Question 4. Why do the sages hesitate before saying the name of Ha'el, Ha'elahim, the Hashem, the Yahweh, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3? Well, Moshe said that when the Hashem, the name of Yahweh, is invoked, evoked, proclaimed, greatness must be ascribed to Ha'el, the Almighty Power. And this means that I must examine our hearts to be sure that reverence and awe are within I, lest we take, or we may take, the Hashem, the Yahweh, invoker, in vain, or regard it as, quote, profane, like something common. The central idea here is Hebraically what we call kavana or kavana. What is kavana? Kavana is concentration and intention, right? The concentration, the focus, kavana, concentration and focus and intention to honor Yahweh, to honor the Hashem, to honor the name. Ibn Ezra, one of the ancient sages, he states that Moshe addresses to Shemayim and the Aretz, the heavens and the earth, as part of Tefillato, as part of his prayer. And as a point of reference, we have Psalm chapter 69, verse 34. You know, just that curiosity. Let's go here. Psalm 69, verse 34. What does Psalm 69, verse 34 say right here, here, here? Verse 39. I said 39. Did I say it wrong? Let's see. What is it? What 34. Sleeker, 34. Psalm 69, verse 34. It says, let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. So the sages, they hesitated before saying the Hashem of Hailahim, and they were saying the Yahweh, invoking it, you know, because of what Moses says right here, 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 that when the name, the Hashem of Yahweh, Yahweh, right, is proclaimed, then greatness must be ascribed to Hailahim. And that means we must examine our hearts to be sure that reverence and awe of his awesomeness are within I and I, lest we take or we may take the Hashem in vain or regard it as profane, as common. And the central idea, Kawana or Kavana, is concentration and the intention. The words of I and I mouth and the intention of I and I heart. Question 5. Why does Moshe call Ha'el, the Almighty Hailahim, the power, the rock? Why does he call El Hatzor? Why does he call Jehovah Hatzor, the Tzor? Tzor is rock, or some translation might be transliterated as Zor. Hazor, but really Hatzor, Hatzor. Why does he call him the rock according to Deuteronomy 32 and 4? Question 5. Well, rock, Tzor, or the rock, Hatzor. Hatzor is a metaphor emphasizing Hayos, the Almighty's permanence and strength. The Rambam explained it to mean that Ha'el is the bedrock of our existence. It's like they say, like the ground of reality, the rock, the ground, the bedrock of our existence. The ancient teaching, the Timheret, and also the Talmud, the ancient teaching in Berakot 10a, it notes that Tzor, rock, it shares the same root as the Hebrew word for artist, right? Or Yotzer, an artist, and Tzor, a rock. And therefore, the term, it identifies Hailahim as the ultimate artist of reality. Indeed, the verb of Tzor, rock, and Yotzer, artist, is Yatzar. Yatzar. Yatzar means to fashion or to shape. For example, when Adam, right, was fashion or shape, was form or reform, we have Bereshit, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Interestingly enough, the first occurrence of the word rock is in Exodus. The word Tzor, it first occurs in Shemot in Exodus, where Moshe was instructed to strike the rock to produce water in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. When Moshe later was caught lacking, sin, ucked up by striking the rock, instead of regarding it as the living rock, referring to the link with Moshiach, Messiah, he lost access to the promised land. The Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, he later identified the rock, Hatzor, as Yeshua Hanotri, Jesus of Nazareth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Note also that the phrase, a faithful God, right, is that El Emuna, a faithful God in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, it can also be translated and rendered as the God, the power of faith. So we have a faithful God, right, Emuna, Emnet, Amenet, El Emuna, also a El, power, almighty, of faith. Question 6. How are the people of Israel, Amo Yisrael, described in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 5, the Song of Moshe? How are they described? They are described as, quote, blemished. end quote, sons. And they're described as a, quote, perverse and a twisted generation, end quote. Note that some of the sages, they had interpreted the grammar of this verse to mean that, quote, no corruption can be ascribed to him. That is, even though Ha'el's justice may force him to allow destruction, he is not the, quote, author of evil, of Ra'ah. The Zohar, it interprets the verse as, quote, no destruction is caused to him by the sons on the wicked. The only blemish they have is their own. This is interesting. When we look at the Hebrew, both translations, you know, it's interesting, the nuances. Job chapter 35 and 6 also resonates this idea, right? So they're described as being blemished sons, perverse and a twisted generation. And some interpret it to me that no destruction, right, no corruption can be ascribed to him, or no destruction is caused to him by the sons on the wicked. The only blemish they have is their own. The sages further note that this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 32 here at verse 5, that this verse, it indicates that Jah relates to us as his children, even, and get this, even when we are, according to the word sound, perverse and twisted, we are still his children. Question 7, why did Moshe call the Bnei Yisrael Am Navala Velo Hatam, a foolish and unwise people? Am Nabal Velo Hatam, Velo Hatam, a foolish Nabal and not wise, a foolish and unwise people. This description is linked to the preceding verse and the corrupt behavior of the people, even of Jah people, because the people, even Jah people, have forgotten Jah, their father and creator, quote, the one, Echad, who made and established you. They have become foolish, right? Some interpret this word Nabal, Nabal. Nabal is like the fool. Even when the fool says in his heart, Nabal, right? Nabal. Modern Hebrew, they'll say Naval. Naval is brought out as being ungrateful. Nabal, foolish in the sense of ungrateful. In fact, even the fool in that sense is not a one who's intellectually foolish, but he's like morally foolish. Thus, the sense of ungrateful. Moshe, he returns to this later on in the prophetic psalm in the 21st verse. Question 8, what does Moshe seek the people, even Jah people, even I and I in the end times, the times of the nation states, the Gentiles, to remember and to ponder, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7 to 8? Moshe, he sought Jah people to remember that Ha'el, the Almighty, administered retribution previous generations for the sins, the ukeries of the people. For example, he destroyed the Olam, the world, the then existing world, right, with the great flood in Noah, in Noah's time. And later he scattered the families of the earth for the sin, the ukery, at the tower, at the pyramid, at the tower at Shinar. Ha'el, the Almighty, divided the people into 70 separate nations, equaling the number of Yaakov, of Jacob's offspring, who descended into Mitzrayim. And also, just an additional note right here, there's also, you know, the book of Enoch and, you know, these 70 separate nations, they have their own, like, ruling angel, right? But over Yisrael, Yasharala, that Abba Father has placed the Son as the God of Israel. But over the other nations, they had a different angel, you know, angel powers and angel spirits. So that's 70. And then we also get, you know, Israel, Ephraim, and Judah, Yehuda. And so we add 72. It's interesting, the 72 nations and the coronation of the Rastafari, Kedemawi, Haile Selassie, the conquering line, the tribe of Judah, the 72 nations. Question 9, how do Yehudi, I, and the Beta Israel, how do we justify? How do we justify reciting Berkot, blessing, Baraka, word sound and powerful, prosperity and increase? When we say, Baruch Atah, Yahweh Eloheinu, who commanded us such and such and such, blessings like that. Regarding the performance, or what some might refer to as rabbinical commandments, or the commandments of the scholars of HaTorah, well, the Talmud, the ancient teaching in Sukkot 46 and 8, it quotes Deuteronomy 32 and 7 and says, quote, ask your father and your elders, end quote. This is to refer to those who understand HaTorah. I mean, after all, who is supposed to, since he says he will visit the iniquity, right, of the fathers upon the sons. So who is supposed to teach the sons except the fathers and the elders, those who should understand HaTorah, Jah's direction and instruction. This is Yisrael's wise men. Now, since Moshe commanded I to consult the sages, to consult our father and also I elders, we may fulfill their directives despite the absence of direct statements found in the pages of HaTorah, because the elders pass on also what's known as the oral direction instruction. The direction instruction, you know, like there's something written, right? It says faith without works is dead. So you might have faith in what is written, but only when you do it do you get the wisdom to know it. So this is why we are to observe the teaching of I fathers, the patriarchs, and I elders. And may Jah so help and bless them, you know, because to whom more is given, more is required. Question 10, why is the land of Israel and the promised land, you know, that region, Ethiopia, Afro-Arabia, you know, from the river Ethiopia, the river of Egypt to the Euphrates River, including the present-day state of Israel. Why is that land so special, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 to 9? Well, when the Most High divided the Goyim, the nations, the nationality, black, white, and otherwise, he, quote, established their boundaries according to the number of the sons of Yasharallah, according to the number of the sons of Yisrael. In fact, it says, Yatzei Gevulota Amin Le Mispar B'nei Yisrael. When he established their boundaries, Yatzeb Gevulot, right? He established their boundaries, the borders, right? According to the number of the sons of Yisrael, right? According to the Mispar, the cipher of the B'nai Yisrael. Though he gave to Yisrael his, quote, chosen orchard and his, quote, treasures, that they may be reaped in it, Yisrael inherited Jah's own special portion of the earth, the earthly plain, between those two rivers, from the river of Ethiopia, the river of Egypt, to the river Euphrates, which is considered the highest, right, the highest or the most central location in the world. This is why there's a lot of things that are more true about some of the things where people talk about the flat or the globe and all this, but it's why we say that the earth is not flat, right? Because there's the highs and the lows, right, that are not easily perceptible from where I, you know, be. But there's the highest. He says so, even in the word, the highest, right on the high places, right? The high places, like Ethiopia is called the roof of Africa because of the elevation. Yerushalayim, Jerusalem for elevation. That particular region, the highest, right, or the most central location in the world. Note that where the Great Pyramid is built, they call it the center of the earth. Well, if the earth is really a ball, Is that where the center would be? On the outside of the ball? Either way, it's the highest or the most central location in the world that includes Levant, present-day state of Israel, all the way to ancient Iraq and, you know, that region, Mesopotamia, and also to East Africa, Ethiopia also being included. Among the nations, Jah chose Yisrael for himself, meaning that he imparted additional revelation to Jah people. So we can find wisdom and even revelation in many different ancient disciplines. But there was special revelation that was imparted to Jah people. Note that many of the Christian translators, they change the meaning of these verses by relying on the LXX over the Hebrew. Just a note right there, and in these areas, diligently studying it. That's a bad idea. The LXX has a few things going for it. You understand? But many of the Christian translations, they change the meaning of these particular verses here. That's a whole other reason then. Question 11. What does, quote, Jacob was his allotted inheritance mean in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9? That Ya'akov, Jacob was his, Hilahim's allotted inheritance. What does this mean? The phrase in the Hebrew is Chevel Nachalato, Chevel Nachalato, Chevel Nachalato, which often can be translated as his allotted Chevel, like something fallen to one by lot, Chevel or Chevel. Nachalato, nachala, inheritance, nachalato, his inheritance. This literally means the rope of his inheritance. Bring out the literal sense is the rope or the cord, the rope of his inheritance. This indicates the special bond between Jah and Jah people. Question 12. Why does Moshe say that Jah, quote, found Israel in the desert? Interesting expression. Moses says that Jah, quote, found Israel, Yasharala, in the Midbar, in the desert, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. Now, the word Yimtsa'ehu, 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 this can mean that he brought them. The sense of bringing them into being. Yim sa ehu. Yim sa e, yim sa, he brought ehu, him. He brought him. Literally, it's he brought him. But often brought out in translations, he brought them. The sense is he brought them into being, or he found them pleasing. To find them, he found him pleasing. Yim sa ehu. In Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, the declaration is, I found Yisrael as grapes in the Midbar. I found Israel, Yasharala, as grapes in the desert. Jeremiah, Ermias, Jeremiah declares, quote, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me, you followed I in the Midbar, in the wilderness, in a land not sown, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2. It was at Sinai, at Har Sinai, that Hilahim gave Jah people Chokmah, gave them Wisma, gave them HaTorah. And also note in the Hebrew, Wisma is she and HaTorah is she. Both synonymous with a type of mother for Yasharala, wisdom and HaTorah, and surrounded them with the protection of the clouds of glory. With his cloud technology, the cloud of Kavod. Question 12. That's question 12. Question 13. What does the phrase apple of the eye, end quote, mean in Deuteronomy 32 and 10? In the Hebrew, the phrase, it's an idiom, we call it the Ishon Ayin. Ishon Ayin. Ishon Ayin. Ishon Ayin. Ishon Ayin. Ishon, this literally from the Hebrew can be translated as, quote, little man, Ishon of the eye, the ayin, Ishon ayin, Ishon ayin. the little man, the Ishon of the eye, Ayin. This is, to me, the, quote, reflective, you know, reflective, the pupil is the reflective of the eye, though figuratively it refers to someone who is cherished, who brings delight to the eye. This phrase is found in the Hebrew elsewhere, often translated as the apple of the eye, because some say that because of, you know, if you're close, if you like someone, love someone, you get close to them. If you get close to someone, you ever see your own reflection in someone's eye? Has ever happened, but this is to bring out, you know, from the literal sense, even a higher figurative sense, the reflective pupil of the eye, the little man of the eye. Figuratively, someone cherished who brings delight to the eye. This idiom, this Hebraicism, is found in Psalm 17 and 8, Zechariah 2 and 8, in Proverbs 7 and 2, and even in Lamentation, Aicha. Right, Lamentations chapter 2, verse 18. So the apple of the eye is the way it's translated into English. The Hebrew is the Ishon Ayin. The Ishon Ayin, the Ishon Ayin, the little man, the little man of the eye. Question 14. What animal analogy is used to describe John's care for Yasharallah, for Yisrael? What animal analogy? According to Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Song of Moshe, verses 11 to 13. Hailehim, the nature of natures, is likened to an eagle who gently rouses her nestling and hovers over them before entering the nest. Unlike other birds that carry their young by their claws, eagles carry their young up on their wings, declaring, quote, if an arrow is shot, it will pierce me rather than my child, from the Midrash Tahunna. Ha'el, Hailehim alone, all one carries Yisrael, carries Yasharallah this way. And no, quote, alien power, alien god, pseudo, that is no intermediary, no angel helped. Exodus 33, verses 2-3. Hailehim, he made them ride upon the high places of the land. That is the land promised to Abraham, from the river to the river, from the river Euphrates to the river Nile, to the river Gihon, to the river of Ethiopia, and gave them, quote, honey from the bedrock and, quote, oil from the flinty rocks. These are two images, right, word pictures of unusual baraka, blessing, prosperity, increase in the promised land. Question 15, does the land of, quote, milk and honey, chalav u'davash, does this refer to cow's milk and the nectar collected by honeybees? So the phrase referring to the land as the land of chalav u'davash, does this refer to cow milk and nectar that's collected by honeybees in Deuteronomy 32 and 14? No, no. The milk is described here as the milk from sheep. And the honey, so we have the halab, modern Hebrew halav. Halab is the milk from sheep. And the debash, right, the honey, this is thought to refer to date honey. Right, honey made from dates. Butter could be made from cows, but apparently not milk. Note that the, quote, rams, as you find the scripture, the rams from Bashan, they refer to the animals raised in the best land for herding, according to Numbers chapter 32. There's another expression, a metaphor, Hebraicism, the fat kidneys of wheat. the fat kidneys of wheat. This is a metaphor for the huge kernels. Just as drinking the, quote, blood of grapes as wine, this refers to grapes of enormous size. And according to that, you know, when so about the blood, when he said, this is my blood, and what were they doing? They were drinking blood. They were drinking wine. So understand the Hebraicism, the word sound, like what Yeshua said, you know, concerning the parables, right? Many they see, but they don't perceive, hear, but they don't understand. Understand the metaphor, the fat kidney of wheat, a metaphor for the huge kernels, and the phrase of the blood of grapes. This is speaking about the wine, and it refers to the grapes of enormous size. Question 16. What does the word Yeshurun, brought out in the KJV as Jeshurun? Isn't it interesting when it says, he was king in Jeshurun? Who's Jeshurun? Jeshurun waxed fat, and then he went off. Well, what does the word Yeshurun mean? According to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15, Yeshurun or Jeshurun in the KJV translation, this is a poetic name for Yasharallah, for Yisrael, meaning the upright one, the Yashar, Yeshurun is the Yashar. Yashar is to be straight, be straight, be right, to be true, to be just. Rebbe Barkya, he understood the name to come from the root sure. Sure. Sure can mean to see. We have this in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I see him, sure, referring to Jah, people who were granted a direct vision of Ha'el, of Ha'ilahim. Now, the Septuagint, the LXX, it translates this term as, quote, beloved one. The prophet Yeshaya calls Yisrael Jeshurun, whom I have chosen in Yeshaya, Isaiah, in Isaiah 44 and 2. Followers of Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, are called to be Yesharim. What does it mean, Havarim? Yesharim is upright ones. So Jeshurun. Upright, the upright one. As we say sometimes, Yasharala, Yasharun, Yesharun, upright. Question 17. What was Ha'el, the Almighty's first complaint against Yesharun, against Jeshurun in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15? Rather than showing devotion to Hashem, to Yahweh, Jeshurun, poetic name for Israel, became fat and rebelled. Now, from this, the sages, they infer that prosperity can be a greater challenge to your relationship with Ha'ilahim than poverty. Again, prosperity, according to the teaching of the ancient sages of Torah, the scholars of Torah, they said prosperity, right? Prosperity can be a greater challenge to your relationship, your communion with Ha'ilahim, with the Almighty Power, than poverty. Prosperity leads to the idea that we don't really need Ha'ilahim, and therefore it leads to apostasy, to falling away, right? The falling away from the way, the truth, and the life. Quote, a full stomach leads to many fukaries from the ancient teaching, barakot, or a full stomach leads to many sins, ukaries, lacking, missing the mark, forfeitures. As King David, Dawid HaMelech, as he warned, let their table become a sneer for them. In Psalm 69:22, also in Romans 1:19, in Romans 11 and 9. Since Yisrael abandoned Ha'il, the Almighty Power, the rock of his Yeshua, Ha'el would respond in measure for measure, deuces. Note that the Sifrei, it says that the statement that Yeshurun became, quote, fat, thick, and stuffed. It refers to three materialistic generations that will precede the messianic redemption. This is interesting with black people in the Americas and the Caribbean. Three materialistic generations. They will become fat, thick, and stuffed. Three generations before the messianic redemption. Be appalled, O Shemaim, at this. My people have committed two evils, two ra-ras, two ra'ah evil. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns, you know, places to hold waters, not the cisterns, but the cisterns for themselves. But these are broken cisterns that can hold no water. Imagine, you're saving up water for disaster, but you put it in some bottles that had a hole in it. That's what they did, right? They hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jeremiah 2 and 13. A couple more right here. This will fulfill this right here. What does Hilahim call, right? Question 18. How did Israel provoke Jah to jealousy? They provoked Jah to jealousy. What we call the kinah or zealousy, to become zealous by adopting alien practices, right? Zareen, that which is strange, that is the worship of foreign so-called Elohim that would require vile deeds, abominations in the worship of these foreign Elohim. Think about what they did to Christianity, Easter egg, bunny rabbit, Santa Claus, to'eva, abominations as part of their worship. Question 19, what does Ha'el call foreign gods in Deuteronomy 32 and 17? Ha'el calls them Shedim, in the Hebrew Shedim, or demons, though perhaps the word means empty shades. They are empty shades or vain thing. They're like a shade, but there's no object that is casting them. There's nothing there. In this context, Shedim are not gods. Right? They are not gods. We call them no gods, invented by people. Moshe already understood the people had worshipped such in the past, even in Mitzrayim, in Leviticus chapter 17, verses 5 to 7, and is aware this practice will return to Yisrael in the future, proverbially the dog returning to the vomit. These were new gods that were, quote, never considered by their fathers any gods. The Sifrei notes that even the heathen of other nations would remark that they were, you know, Jah people's idols. Note that the Hebrew word for demon is shed, right? This refers to powers, right? We had Shaddai, the Almighty Shaddai in that sense. But these were sheds that were invoked to help. However, when the gods of the nations are called Shedim, is to indicate that they are insubstantial shades. They are shadow which has no substance to project them. They are no gods, with neither, right, divine nor even a demonic function. They can't do good or evil, but people worship them and it becomes their imagination. It is only in the Brit Hadasha, right, that the demons are revealed as malicious spirits that are manifest, right, in the presence of the Moshiach Yeshua, right? They become manifest. Paul's use of this verse right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 to 23, and he regards this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 to 23, regarding food. He actually regards this as a food offered to idols. Question 20, why did Yasher Allah commit idolatry, Deuteronomy 32 and 18? Yisrael became forgetful of the rock that fathered them, Hayah, the Almighty that gave them birth. Note that this refers to a state where the soul, the psyche, where she becomes apathetic to the very question of good and evil and the divine face and presence. It is not a question of sin, of hatiyat, or rebellion here, but rather, worse than sin and rebellion is indifference. Be hot or cold, lest you will be spit out of Hilahim's mouth. What was Hael's response, question 21, to Yisrael's apathy in Deuteronomy 32 and 19? Well, because Israel spurned Hael, Jah would spurn them measure for measure. Interesting, the word for spurn is na'at, right? Na'at. This is a term later used to refer to blasphemy, right? Na'atza. The people's indifference really was a form of provocation to Hilahim, a hidden form of anger, chaos, directed towards Shemaimah, directed towards the heavens. Now, there is the 22nd question, right? What does the hiding of John's face mean, Chavarim? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 20. But here we're at a little bit of a kind of a crossroads here. We wanted to at least do half of these questions here, 22 of the 44, right? And also have a little outro right here, here, here. So here we're going to do this right here, just a little bit of this and then the hiding of the face to seal up the questions right here, here, here. Yes, out.
Rastafari, to look upon your pretty, pretty face. We want to walk the streets of glory, shining around your throne. So not the jet, the Lord, the Gentiles, them to come, one come to look upon your pretty, pretty face. We are going home, going home, to seek in Rastafari.
Pull up that one, your justice. Hey, pull up this Rastafari, you know, man. It's hot.
I am one, to seek in Rastafari, to look up and just pretty face. We want to walk the streets of glory, shining around your throne. So not the jet, the Lord, the Gentiles, them to come, one come to look upon your pretty, pretty face. Far we are going on, going on, to seek in Rastafari. Till I see at the root of David, hallelujah, I am Congo, I think. Till I see at the root of David, chant it out, hallelujah, I am Congo, I think. Till I see at the root of David, hallelujah, King Selassie at the root of David, hallelujah, hallelujah, Congo, Selassie at the root of David, hallelujah. Hallelujah,
dear Lord, I say, Hallelujah. I have come to hide. Hallelujah. Mount Zion birds shall sing and say,
We're gonna like just leave it on a high note right here, here, here. We're gonna pick up with more as we move forward, y'all. Willing right here, here, here. Hag Hasukot Sameach, Feast of Tabernacles, joyful, joyful. Shavuot Tov, Melkam Mehud. John bless the eye and I and I keep the eye and I and I cause his face his grace to shine on I and I and give I and I victory, salvation, shalom, Yeshua, shalom, Hag, Ha, Sukkot, Sameach, 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 rejoice, yes I, Rastafari, shalom, Chaverim, Talmudim.